You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Yeah, you can't handle the truth. Joining me from someplace, somewhere, is Michael Musselman. What's going on, man? What are you doing?
Hey, good. Hey, the guy I was just talking to, he said, quote, "Hey, what about my socks? I think they're crushing it." And that wasn't me.
Are you kidding? I mean, look, I have this thing about the people that can't, like, can't say that Bill Clinton, like, is an incredible politician, okay? They can't say that. I have this thing when they say, yeah, Donald Trump didn't really get elected to be the president. If you can't, how can we even have a conversation if you can't admit the obvious, okay?
And, oh, I know.
Right. And so let me tell you, the Boston Red Sox are the hottest. They are the Los Angeles Dodgers of this year. They are just the Angels. They went and they played the Angels, who had a similar record, and they beat them three straight times, and they beat them. They beat them like a rug. Poof, poof, poof.
You know, and here's the, and I'm going to say this on the
okay,
record.
Okay, let me, can I say this to Montana Man? Why is Montana Man asking us, like, what channel is the Red Sox game on? Look, you're the Red Sox guy, okay? So that should go to you, VFR Direct. I'm not going to participate in the Red Sox conspiracy. Okay, well, so stop doing that.
Have them subscribe to Essen, that, you know.
He's cheap.
Then you, yeah, and you'll get it, man. There, get a Boston channel.
Shit. No, he's cheap.
Or, you know, consult TV Guide or the World Wide Web called the Internet.
Hey, what channel's Red Sox game on? Who gives a shit?
Or ask Siri, because Siri will tell you.
He does.
And if you do it in Australian, do an Australian voice, it'll sound like this. Where is Montana Man? Please quit crying about this. Well, that probably sounds more like Irish, I'd say.
It does. It does sound.
Okay, well, my Siri went to Ireland, but she lives in Australia now.
She is confused, to say the least. If you can't admit what's true, then you've got issues. And the Red Sox, the thing I know about athletics is it will swing the other way at some point. Right? Nobody goes. Only Secretariat goes wire to wire. Okay.
Right. Only
Secretariat.
Once in a millennium goes like crazy, like shit like that. But no, you're right. I mean, that's the great thing about it.
Hey, speaking of millennia, how about your boy Comey? Right, including in his official memo, the president is talking about Russian hookers. Like, what kind of punk bitch is he, man? Like, look, we talked about all these things. The president said, Putin said that Russia's got awesome, awesome high-end hookers.
Right.
How does that get the memo?
But you know,
what an idiot.
I don't know what he's trying to do. Because, you get to a point where you're like, how can you be so stupid to publish something like this that, in essence, could really put you in jail or get you in some serious trouble?
And well, he's.
I gotta tell myself, there's gotta be a plan, you know? People don't do calculated stupidity without a reason.
Yeah, but Mike, I don't disagree with you, but his calculations seem consistently wrong. As the leader of a law enforcement organization, his job is to maintain its integrity, right, honor the oath that he took to the nation and his loyalty to the men and women of the FBI as an institution, and make sure that he doesn't get caught playing political games. Because once you do that, you compromised yourself and the institution. That's his job.
Right, but he did this whole thing. I mean, that's all he did. And they talked about it ad nauseum last night, about how political he really got.
Yeah,
And other FBI, I mean, I saw other FBI, like the former assistant director, you know, number two or three guy in the FBI, calling for his head, you know, and other FBI guys, and the FBI guys I know that retired from the FBI, the same thing, they're all like, oh,
painful.
This guy needs to go, you know, sacrifice for the greater good.
You know, well, and again, you go back to it, Mike and I talked about this, and I talked about this in the first hour, but, you know, he got warned by everybody who he ran into, and then everybody's wives who he ran into, and then everybody's wife's brother that he ran into that, hey, look, if Trump gets elected, when you deal with that dude, you better have your hand on your wallet, okay? And then...
Right.
And so he's and when you get to the top, you know, you're not a guy who makes it work. Okay, you're a yes or no guy. Yes, we'll do that. No, we won't do that. The buck stops on your desk. And so the president clears the room. Son-in-law says, "Should I stay?" No, you leave too. Comey, who's been warned by everybody that this is coming, he doesn't know to say, "I can't have this conversation." And if you want to have I have to, he doesn't know, that's so bullshit. And then he goes and he writes his little memo and all this. It's just calling him a leader.
He's a punk.
Yeah,
that's a punk.
That's a punk. Calling him a leader is an insult to every shitty leader out there. Okay. And it's just embarrassing. Yeah. And now you have the number one and two guys at the Federal Bureau of Investigation involved in this. Hold on, Mac. Cue the Calliope music. What happened? What happened to the Calliope music? Holy shit, I had it.
I thought you had it. That's my favorite theme song. You asked me that. Like, what music comes to head when you're doing stuff? All the time, man. The circus.
I know. Circus
has come down. Yeah.
But again, so you watch this, and now then you see this headline: Putin said, "Right, Russia's got awesome hookers." Well, of course they do, right? When you
have you seen Ukrainian women? Hello.
Okay. Now, what do you think the president of Colombia said this morning when he woke up and saw that headline? He said, look, they're high.
We got better hookers down here in Bogota.
In Colombia. We will annihilate those Ukrainian nasty things. Like, who is he talking to? Like, hello, Putin, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And that makes its way into his memo. It's just stupid. Again, not to absolve, you know, Donald Trump, but Comey, please, man, just go away yesterday.
This is news, though, man. This
is
like,
my God.
You know, the news networks are like, you know,
are you kidding me?
They have bean counters. They have these people. They sit there and go, okay, if we can keep this story alive, unless it's a national, natural disaster somewhere, because that'll always, trump anything, but, or a mass shooting. Right now, in the drought of the spring, when there's no news, no election, no one's being stupid, we can milk this for a good 2 or 3 months.
Oh, my God.
And if they convict them, it's another 3 months.
Oh, my God.
So, and again, that's why they sit there and watch the national, you know, like earthquake right now. If earthquake hit California and half of San Francisco slid into the Pacific Ocean, man, that would... People within 2 months would be like, Trump who?
No, they wouldn't.
But they,
are you kidding me? They would cover.
Yeah,
they would.
That big.
They would cut in for the earthquake and then back to Trump. He sucks the.
No,
yes,
I think that would.
On.
It would take center stage for a while.
No,
yeah.
Well, at least an hour.
Okay, what about aliens? Aliens land in Ogallala, Nebraska, and take it over.
Yeah, look, it was okay. No, maybe a few hours. Trump sucks.
Really?
Yeah, Trump sucks the life out of everything, you know?
And he tweets. And you know what? I thought about this yesterday, and I hate his tweets.
Oh.
But then, you know what I started noticing? Maybe he's smarter, way smarter than I really credit him for, because what's unique about his tweets is it's sparks conversation. It sparks debate. It sparks division, which sparks all the other stuff too. And what he's really doing there though is he's bringing those grassroots conservatives back to the surface, the ones that settled at the bottom and were kind of happy with what they're at. Now this Thirstick has brought all that sediment to the surface, and now they like it. They like being on the surface again. This is what the sunlight feels like again. So he's bringing all of these people out.
What I think is what I think is that he steers the news cycle, and
he controls it.
Oh my God, it's embarrassing.
They're on his timeline.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know why they have White House press releases anymore, because they don't care about that. They're looking for the next tweet.
Oh my God. So, no, not to get too.
And they have a counter, like, how many times Trump has called someone a pussy, an idiot. You know, how many times does he say, great, this is going to be a great country after I'm, you know, it's just going to be great. And then everything is going to, it's just going to be great. Or fabulous. You know, six times in a sentence. And they wait for the stuff, but he does that shit on purpose. Because it's amazing. Like they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Right? Publicity. You get your name out there, man, people will remember this forever.
And now
there'll be books written about him. Forever.
He's played this game long enough too. And so, I mean, first of all, he was no stranger to it. But I think his baptism that he's gotten as president of the United States, it's like this is his baptism to like completely burn it down, right? And now, I mean, and his tack always is double down on it, right? Double down on it, right? Don't run away from it. Just double down on it.
Right.
So, man. If you gave James Comey any leadership advice, what kind of leadership advice would you give him?
Stop trying to be a leader. Just don't do it anymore. Yeah. Just give it up. Yeah. Don't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's probably good advice.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear that you are comfortable in the yes or no role. You're a, probably a good second or third that you can you'll make it work if I tell you what to do. But in terms of sitting behind the big desk, where you're the guy who says yes or no, that's not you. All right, so we need to put you in the.
He's like trying to build a big house in swamp. You know, without no foundation, it's just not going to work.
Yeah,
he has no foundation. He has nothing to build off of. Just give it up. Just stop.
You trying to go out and explain and defend to both sides who believe that you wronged them. If I could tell you anything, that doesn't look, from my perspective, and I haven't watched a whole lot of it. It doesn't look like it's really working for you because both sides think you're a bozo.
Right. No. Yeah. You've lost. Yeah. Whatever respect that anybody still had for you, now gone.
Yeah.
And now he's turning, now they, you know, McCabe is turning against him.
Well, he has to, because one of them's not telling the truth.
One of them? Which one of these things? Yeah. It's not like the other. Yeah, and now McCabe, this is the drowning rat syndrome. You know, so rats will eat rats, stay alive, and they will stand on top of each other's head and drown them just to. For their own self, you know, self-worth.
Is that how rats do it? Do you know that for a fact, or are you just speculating?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know?
No. Because I've drowned a bunch of rats before. Not on purpose, of course, but I've seen rats in a situation, I think it was Iraq, actually, where it was a bunch of them in the water, and they were all standing on top of each head drowning each other, or, you know, trying to get out. And it was just amazing. You look at it, you go, oh, that's where they get that from. So they all corner, like, the highest point, and then they'll start climbing up on top of each other. So the bottom guy, he's dead.
Bottom guy's dead?
Well, yeah, he's going to drown first.
All right. All right. Now, I want to play a little audio from almost 2 years ago. Actually, it's from August 17th of 2016. This is Mike and I talking about his phobias. All right.
What? Oh, no.
Three
don't
Stooges
hold on,
style?
Hold on.
You ran into a tree?
Yes. I'm like, you know, can you imagine? I'm patting the top of my head with my hands. I don't even know where my rifle is. I probably dropped it. But I'm running, and I take like two. When I say I started to run.
Okay, hold on. Let me rewind this by about a minute. I was told it started at about the 9 minute mark, but clearly that was wrong. So I think this. I don't even know how we got onto this discussion, but this is our introduction to the fruit bat. Okay, and what's fun to me, the funniest part of the story is Mike thinks it's funny. Okay, he's recalling this for the first time in a long time, and he thinks it's funny. So that to me makes it funny. All right.
They have funny, black, shiny, wet-looking legs. They got a big, long body that looks like a yellow, or looks like a banana. They're bright and colorful. But
this is a banana spider.
As big as the catcher's mitt around. You know, their legs
and
everything.
That's a banana spider.
Hold on and shut up!
So, young TSD Musselman is point man walking through the jungles in NTA in Okinawa.
Right.
And it was night out. We didn't have night vision back in those days.
Right.
And I was walking. I turned to look because we had the cat eyes on the back of your helmet.
Right.
So I looked back, you know. Back then, you take like three steps forward, you take a step back, and it was that kind of thing, you know, trolling. So as I took a step back or looked back and I looked forward, I walked into this web and I could feel it stick to me, you know, like this. And as I started backing out, it just like broke off and it was all over me. And I remember just freaking out like this. So I'm pulling this web off of me and I'm like, it's in my mouth, it's in my face, it's in my hair. I mean, it's everywhere. And as I'm pulling it off, I felt something on the top of my head.
Okay, thanks.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, just I'm looking forward and I see these black legs come down over the bill of my cover. Just hanging down, these black, long, slimy-looking, wet, black, skinny legs. And it was a banana spider. And it was on top of my head. And I freaked out, man. And I ran. I was...
Where were you going?
I don't know, but I wasn't going staying there. And when I ran, I hit a tree.
All right.
It was maybe like two steps. Down? I hit it because I couldn't see anything. It was like in the freaking jungle.
Three Stooges style? Oh, my God. That is hilarious. All right. All right, where are you? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just sitting down with David, Ron, and Ralph. But I could talk a little bit longer.
What's going on? Where are you? Are you and the boys going to lunch? That's normally what you're doing about this time.
Yeah, we're at lunch right now.
Where are you eating? Petroleum Club or what?
No, they didn't want beef, so we didn't go to the Petroleum Club today.
What do they want? Chicken?
Salad.
Salad? What the hell? Oh, you guys
you got to have something to push that beef out of here.
You can go get it at coffee enema.
No, they don't do coffee enemas around here.
They don't? Where did you actually get your coffee enema?
I think it was like Huntington Beach area. I can't remember the name of the place, but it's near the beach somewhere up there. Huntington? What's north of Huntington?
Seal Beach.
Maybe it's Newport. Yeah, maybe it's south, because Newport's south of Huntington.
Right.
I think it was Newport Beach area. I'm trying to think of it, man. Because it was out on the peninsula. Balboa Pier, yeah.
They do stuff like that on Balboa Pier.
Well, not on the pier, but near Balboa Pier.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Yeah. On that peninsula, there's a lot of like weird shit going on.
We were having coffee today with the Ron and I had coffee before we came here.
Yeah.
And we met this guy today who brought up a good. Have you heard the word the meek shall inherit the earth?
Yes, I have that. I've heard that.
Do you know? You know what that means?
No, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
It does make sense. Now it makes sense to me.
Jesus said that.
No,
to me.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes absolute sense after I'm done with it.
The meek don't inherit anything.
Yes, they will. Because you're looking at it through the definition of meek is through Western eyes, uneducated eyes, dumb American eyes.
Okay, so enlighten me. I didn't know they had any other kind of eyes in Texas than those kind of eyes.
Okay, so meek is, of course, a Greek word. Everything's a Greek word, right? Greek or Latin.
Meek?
Meek. No, it, it derives from a Greek word.
That
meek.
Sounds like bullshit
so,
to me.
So back in ancient times,
okay.
The war horses that the Greeks used to actually, you know, fight in battle, and they took about 10 years to train to get to that level of obedience where they would still charge forward even through a wall of spears. So they put a phalanx out.
It's not a Greek word. It's a Norwegian word translated into English. Right? It was M-J-U with the U with the two dots above it. K-R.
Listen to me. I'll send you this stuff.
Oh, my God. Just bought somebody's stupid-ass fairy tale. Okay, keep going. All right,
okay.
I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, 99% of the time you're wrong. So this is one of those percents that make up that 99. So when they would train these things, the horses, blind obedience, would charge into that phalanx and penetrate it, and then the Greeks, of course, they'd hop out, jab the horses, and then fight the battles, and they'd win.
Okay.
But that discipline to call that, so the Greek war horses were called meek.
Okay.
So to actually say that the meek will inherit the earth, because now it's true. It's those that will blind obedience, the ones that are charged forward no matter what the loss is going to be, were called meeks.
Okay.
So that's why they get the thing, the meek will inherit the earth. That's right.
Well, they won't because they're dead because they charged the phalanx and they all got wiped out.
They'll do it.
The pogues will inherit the earth because the meek are all going to be dead.
Nope.
No?
You can't kill them all.
What am I missing? Oh, so it's going to be all the pogues and a few of the meeks that are going to be on disability and PTSD and all the rest of that stuff in therapy for the rest of their lives. They're going to inherit the earth? Come on.
Right.
They're going to get kicked to the curb like they always do. Who's telling you this shit?
Nope. Don't even start it, man.
Look, you're not even...
But he coined a new phrase that I'm going to start using.
Oh,
it's called
God.
The pitchfork party.
That's my party, man. I've started that one in North Dakota.
Not the Tea Party, not the Republican Party, but the pitchfork party.
Pitchforks and torches. All right. That's how it's going to happen. The origin of the word meek, Old Norse, N-O-R-S-E, M-J-U, two dots above it, K-R. Then in Middle English, back in the day, it was mech, M-E-C-C, which got translated to meek. There you have it.
I'll show it to you. I'll give it to you.
Oh, my
You're
God.
Crazy.
Here we go. Fairy tale bullshit from Texas. But because it's from Texas, you're all supposed to bow down to it. Email. Hey, Mac, is the gunner going to go to Barbara Bush's funeral? Are you going to go pay your respects?
No, I'm not going down to Houston.
How far is Houston from you?
It's like as far as L.A. is from me. It's huge.
Really?
No, it's not that far. But I would have to fly down there. I'm not driving.
You're not driving, so you're not going. All right.
It's like 6 hours in traffic.
All right. So you're having salad. Have you started PTing yet? You haven't, have you?
Yeah, actually, I have.
Really?
What are you laughing at?
Because I know you're lying to me. What are you doing to PT?
Yard work.
You know what? I'm curious. Can you, if I said, hey Mike, do you want to go to the pool and watch us do swim qual? How funny when you're a Marine is when your company goes down to the pool and does swim qual off the 10-meter platform?
Oh, that's like a whole, yeah, that's a whole new experience.
Let me tell you, if for those of you that have never done this, if you want to lay down and just roll till your stomach hurts from laughing, when you go down and you got to do, at least back in the day, annual swim qual, and you start with the, all right, class four, everybody up on the platform. And you, Mike, what was class four? You jump off the platform in your utilities, you hit the water, you come up, and what do you have to do? Be able to swim to the side of the pool? Swim to the side of the pool? That was class four?
Yeah, just the bare minimalist, I think. Yeah, jump in the water, not off the 10 meter, like whatever the diving board. I mean, it's like nothing. 3 meters, maybe 9 feet. It wasn't that, bud.
I thought it was a 10 meter one. What was that?
That's 30 feet in the air, dude.
That was
people froze at 30 feet in the air.
Tell me, okay, how funny was that though? You have staff and COs up there screaming at kids. At kids, at young Marines, jump now.
Well, that wasn't always funny, dude. I saw some guys get seriously hurt. You know, I saw some guys get really hurt.
How could they get hurt?
Because at the last minute, they panicked and grabbed before they jumped. They grabbed that pole, and then they swung back in. Then they hit the second deck and then hit the pool side.
What?
I saw a couple guys, get really hurt.
See? Yeah. There you go. There you go. Poor leadership. Anybody by the name
of... Well, no, it goes back to terror and fear. Fear is what you want to experience. Fear is good. Fear will keep you alive. It's okay to be fearful of things. It's terror. Once terror grips you, you know, you can't do anything. It anchors your feet to the ground. It makes you do stupid shit like that. Where he was fearful, but then as he started to go, terror gripped him, and he got that second wind, and you didn't want to go, and you grabbed that pole and were swimming back into the second deck below us. It almost cost him his life, dude.
What the hell, man? What kind of shit show were you running up there?
I wasn't running. It's not my deal. If it would have been my deal, dude, there wouldn't have been anybody qualified.
So you take a perfectly fun day and turn it into something stupid. What unit was it, and who was running it?
It was the school, the staff and SEAL school.
Oh.
They used to come up to the regiment.
Say no more, okay?
Yeah.
Say no more.
This wasn't a grunt that did it. It was a non-combat ambulance kind of guy.
Say no more, okay? I'm talking about the hilarity of taking your company down to the pool and watching this shit show. It was funny. All right, Mike's trying to ruin a funny story. Congratulations. What a loser. Okay.
No, that was just because I was always in my boat company. Everybody in my company was a good swimmer. We never had bad. No. Never. There was not that kind of humor. Now in boot camp, yes, but not in my unit, no. Boot camp, I saw the true meaning of discipline.
But you
say, you know,
you say
discipline is the willingness to be his orders, right?
Right. Right, absolutely.
So I had a kid in my platoon, black kid from Detroit, like inner city kid, who was scared to death. He, just before we get to the pool, he said, I have never, other than in a bath, been in water. So we were like, oh, you'll be fine. Dude, he gets up there. They tell him to jump. He jumps. As the bubbles and the splash subside, I see him looking up at us with his bright eyes, holding his breath, his cheeks puffed out, going all the way to the bottom, which no one did. I don't know how he did it. And he just laid there, and his arms crossed over his body. Not panicking, calm, cool. Man, I mean, like... And we watched, and as the bubbles receded on the top, and it got kind of clear where you can see down there, we were kind of then looking like, when are they going to go get this guy? And then the drill instructors dove in, the guys that were in there, went down, grabbed them, yelled at them. But talk about no panic, nothing in his eyes, you know, cool as a cucumber, dude, cool as a cucumber.
Really, because that's not normally the way it worked. Normally it was eyes bulging out of your head. They went to the bottom and then they came up, right? And when they broke the water, oh, man, you'd hear this yell and the arms start flailing. And And,
yeah. Well, needless to say, he was removed. I never saw him again. He went to, I don't know what happened. He went to a different tune or to what they call it back then.
Really?
Remedial kind of. Yeah, he was gone out of it.
Because you could be, you didn't have to qualify swimming to get out of boot camp, right?
I think you did.
No.
Back in my day, I think you had to.
No, you didn't. You could be unk.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think that's more of a recent thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Yep. Wait, let me get my platoon commander's notebook from 1983 and go through and tell you how many unks I had in my platoon.
Well, that's just poor. That's poor on your side.
poor leadership on my part.
Yeah. And why are you doing that?
And the reason I know is because you remember when you'd go down and do like. Water stuff at Coronado, and you know, they take you out, you jump off the boat in the surf, and you'd lock arms and all that stuff. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to know who your unks were because you had to make sure that they didn't drown. So.
Yeah, well, you know how we did that?
How?
We didn't have those in the company. Seriously, they put them like in weapons companies. The Hilo company.
Charlie 15, man.
Company had a.
I was
track had good swimmers too, but.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how.
Were you a good swimmer? Where'd you learn how to swim?
It was the west side. So Minnesota has been known as the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yes.
Actually, there's more like 15,000, but I'm not counting.
I think there's close to 100,000.
So when you live in a state that has literally, you can't travel more than a mile down the road without seeing a lake, and most of them are connected somehow, you end up kind of every once in a while getting in like. No, I grew up in Lake Bass, and then, you know, going to California, I was a young kid swimming in the surf. So, yeah, I always loved the water.
Although promoted as the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota has 11,842 lakes of 10 acres or more. That's a big lake.
Yeah, 10 acres is a big lake.
That's a big lake. So you can imagine how many smaller lakes. If all basins over 2.5 acres were counted, Minnesota would have 21,870 lakes. That's a lot of lakes.
Even a 2-acre lake is a pretty. It's a pond.
Yeah. So yeah, I learned how to swim. Because I just like to swim. Growing up swimming, and then we went to San Diego when my dad was with the Padres for the summers, and I'd hang out at the beach, and I learned how to ocean swim then. And so I've always been
completely different.
Yeah, I've learned how to ocean swim. In fact, you know, one of the things when I ran a couple of triathlons, and you know, I'll tell you, what I didn't like. When you are doing those and you swim in the ocean, it is so much different than pool swimming. It's ridiculous. You know, first of all, just rotating your head out of the water when you're swimming, you can't turn your head to the side because of the swell, right? You have to crank your head, and that's every stroke. And then when you put your head down, what do you see? Blue, beautiful bottom of the pool? No, you see nothing. It's black. And, yeah, it's really different. But, no, I became a confident body surfing at Pacific Beach and swimming up and down the coast in Mexico. I became a pretty confident ocean swimmer, too. So always loved it. And then I jacked up my ear, and I can't go very deep in water without my equilibrium being impacted. So.
Right.
So that's why I asked Mike if there was some device that you could put in your ears that would insulate your ears from water pressure. And he said, no.
No,
there's not.
I mean, like I said, at least to the first atmosphere, but once you go past 43 feet to the second atmosphere, you'd be kind of more damaged.
Okay, I know you're getting ready to have lunch, so I'll let you go. One last question. Email. Why do you guys hate Jim Comey so much?
Why do we hate Jim Comey?
So much.
Who's calling? From Ethiopia or something? who emailed that? The Prince of Nigeria that still owes me my $10 million?
I think so. I got one of those the first one I ever got. I was in Iraq. I was like, holy shit, I think I won some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, food's here. So let me just finish with this last thing. Go Sox.
Yeah, the hottest team in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. Have a good weekend. Michael Musselman. Meek Greek. Laugh my ass off. That's like Chevy being German. See, it just shows you, right? A sucker's born every minute. Mac, I love the Gunner. But sitting there listening with his friend in the background, that was brutal. I know. I know, but I wasn't going to hang up. I can't hang up on the Gunner. Come on. He's the Gunner. He's the Gunner. So, I couldn't do that. This one's about running over the coated wire with my dog. Okay, so I'm driving into work today, and I turn you on, and I listen to you slaying Jim Comey and then telling the story about mentally harming your dog. And with all due respect to your dog, I'm laughing my ass off. Are you kidding me? Let me guess. Your dog heads for the bed whenever you even touch the lawnmower or fire that sumbitch up. That's in fact what happens. Right? Joe, he'll be out front running around like a fool. Jack, when he sees me go for the lawnmower, the tail goes down and he heads the other way. He's like, I need to go in the house. He doesn't go. Congratulations, Mac, on turning your dog into a nut. Well done. He's fine. Come on. Everybody falls off their bike once. All right. Everybody falls off their bike once. All right. We're gonna take a quick break when we come back. There's a couple stories I wanted to talk about. More of All Marine Radio. On a Friday edition, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, rattle the desk, sat on the stairs, say or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over, I can't just let you go. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle?
956. Email. I hadn't seen the article that you talked about relative to North Korea relinquishing its demand that American forces leave the peninsula prior to denuclearization discussions. I'm not sure if everybody realizes what a big deal that is. Say what they may, as long as that remained on the table, the negotiations were going nowhere, and everybody knew that. I'm with you in that I am now curious what's going on here and what is the sticking point. He's not going to give that program up without some kind of major concessions. What will they be? What will the Chinese require for their participation in all of this? I think testament to the Japanese concern about what the Chinese will get was Prime Minister Abe's trip to Florida. The Japanese do not want to get compromised by the American desire to deal with Mr. Kim. Pretty interesting stuff. That is not a small concession or a small deal. It means that these discussions will at least be interesting and not simply a stupid dance. Yeah, it got my attention. And here's what I would say. What I would say about what's going to happen in Korea in those discussions is there are the things that are in place are things that have to be in place for substantive discussions to take place. How about that? Yeah. And so that's why this is intriguing. The trip. So if you said, okay, let me script this. What are the things that would need to happen for us to take him seriously? First of all, stop the testing, dial down the rhetoric. Done, done. He'd have to be open to a meeting with Americans before. Well, we've done that. He'd also have to be open, if this is going to go forward, to taking off the requirement that American forces leave the peninsula. Done. And you know what? And I can hear, as I'm saying these things, I can hear people saying, that will never happen. You'll never get that far down the list. So that, look, and God only knows what's going to happen with these negotiations. But is it possible? Right? Is it possible that the Chinese, that the North Koreans have changed? And that they want to, you know, bring their country out of this dark famine phase? And into the land of the 20th century, and then maybe someday coming into the land of the 21st century? Is that possible? Yeah, my spidey sense says no, it's not possible. Because Kim is not going to be that different from Putin in terms of sustaining power. Is he confident that he can sustain power if he drops some of these prohibitions? Most dictators, not so much. So, but come on, he's a young dude. He's like hanging out with his sister. It's like, man, so it's interesting to say the least. So again, what you hear on the backdrop, and I'll read a paragraph. Many analysts believe that Kim sees the meeting with Trump as a way to bestow legitimacy on his own leadership and on a rogue nuclear program that he built in the face of international criticism and crippling crippling sanctions. Many say it is unlikely that North Korea will trade away its hard-won nuclear weapons without getting what it wants in return. North Korea is expressing a commitment to a complete denuclearization, Moon said during a meeting with the heads of the media organizations in South Korea yesterday. Quote, they are not presenting a condition that the U.S. cannot accept, such as the withdrawal of American troops in South Korea. North Korea is only talking about the end of a hostile policy against it and then a security guarantee for the country. Trump revealed, anyway. So, we'll see. Interesting. Again, many people didn't believe that even those kind of discussions would take place. But if you look at what's been done and not simply what's been said, in my opinion, he's done everything to be taken at least seriously enough to sit down with, right? And if it all comes to no fruition, then so be it. Then sanctions will continue. He'll continue to be isolated. and he can have whatever media event that he wants, and then he'll go back into the deep freeze. But I will say this. I mean, North Korea, if that position is in fact true, I mean, that should interest a lot of people. So we shall see. Have a great weekend. This program repeats itself momentarily. If you missed the recipes this morning, check them out. I believe ham and cheese pie. Yeah, that not bad. And then I keep wanting to say fajitas, frittatas. It's an Italian dish. So check them out. The recipes are on the website right now. So, and if you want to be moderately amused, I get into James Comey. I just, again, good luck to him and Andrew McCabe. But the leadership that they showed in very important positions, normally it doesn't work out when you fail that. And in my opinion, both of them failed. They failed their oath. They failed the people that depended on them. And now you're seeing it play out publicly. One of them, an investigation forwarded to the federal attorney in the District of Columbia, who will decide whether they charge Andrew McCabe or not. James Comey and Andrew McCabe, one of them, didn't tell the truth. It's not good. It's not good. Anyway, have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. On a Friday. All Marine Radio. Out.